fifth week of the this follow series, and it's been a good one in my opinion. I encourage you, if you haven't heard any of the previous messages, to go back and listen to them on our website. We have the podcast and the messages there. You can listen in your car and your study time. We're really blessed today, the technology that we have. But following God, following Jesus, it's a decision you have to make. I can't make it for you. And so we're just trying to, as we started off this year, we're just trying to encourage people that if you haven't been following, make a decision to follow. And if you are following, I just encourage you on to stay closer to Him. So today, as we're talking again about the how-tos these last few weeks, about the how-tos of following Jesus. And I want to start today off by sharing an amazing story in the Scripture. And it's the story of Jesus. Remember Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? He'd been dead for 4 days. And just before He raises Lazarus from the dead, He makes a pretty radical statement, and I want to read that to you. Look over in John 11, verse 41. John 11, verse 41. And it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place from where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, 'Father,'" now listen to this prayer, or these words to God, "'Father, I thank You that You have heard me. And I know that You always hear me.'" Don't you love that? "'But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent me.'" I mean, when he's saying that, he's saying, he's just not in his private prayer time. He's saying it in front of a group of people. Could be Pharisees and religious leaders and all kind of people. I mean, it's pretty bold. I mean, almost, I'd say, bordering on arrogance. I mean, just this confidence. And Jesus was a bold person in His life. A fearlessness. And so sometimes I think we look at Jesus in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, and we look at Him and we'll say, you know, He's like a robot. God sent this robot to earth and just pushed the button, and He kind of just lives this holy life, and it leads to the miracles, and then, you know, He goes to the cross and descends and dies, and He's buried, descends into hell, defeats the devil. You know, He's on autopilot, just kind of cruising along. And we're taught this in church, and I've probably done it here, but we have like, well, there's Jesus, and then there's us. He's in like, and again, He is God. I mean, I'm not saying, obviously, there is a difference. But we kind of put Him like, look at what he did in His life, and, you know, and that's not really something we can do. And He's going to do that, and we're going to do this, and there's this separation. As I'm getting started here, I want to kind of share a little bit about where this boldness and this confidence came from that Jesus had, because He operated in His ministry, in His life, under the old covenant as a human being. He didn't operate under a special privilege, and He didn't operate as a robot, and He was not autopilot. You know, he stripped Himself of His heavenly inheritance and became a man. And you needed to keep this in mind. And I was going to read it, but we don't have time to read it. But you remember in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus is 12 years old, and they went to Jerusalem for the feast day, and you know they travel together as a pack, and Mary and Joseph are heading back afterwards, and again they're all traveling together, family, friends, and then finally after several days, I mean, what kind of mother is this? After several days, they notice that Jesus is gone. He's not with them. I guess they just trusted him so much, they didn't need to look out, you know, baby him or whatever. And, you know, that's probably, you know, what happened with Grayson, you know. He's gone. So they go back to Jerusalem, and they find him in the temple, and he's with the doctors of the law, and they're talking scripture, and they're all amazed at him and the knowledge that he has. And then his mother and father come up to him, and I mean, you know, what would you say to your kid if they were gone for several days without your permission? I mean, I would like to see some of your reactions. And so they're very concerned, and you know, Mary says, well, you know, we've been concerned about where you've been. We've been worried. And then Jesus says to Mary, well, you know, I was here, and I needed to be about my Father's business. And they're like, what? They don't understand. And you know, there's so many things here. First of all, he says, he calls God his Father. Now we just, you know, in our mentality, we've been in church, we've heard that, we say our Heavenly Father, we have the prayer of the Our Father. And so for us to say Father, it's really no big deal to call God Father. But we don't realize how radical this is. And to the scribes and Pharisees, what he's saying here is blasphemy. And really, he could be stoned. He could be, you know, depending on the punishment. These are mean people. So he says, I must be about my Father's business. So let's fast forward about 18 years to the story of Jesus being baptized by John. And let me read this to you in Matthew 3, verse 16, Message Translation. You guys, you can put that up there. It says, the moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit and looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice says, this is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. Isn't that pretty amazing? God, like in front of this, and I don't know who all heard it, but it's recorded here. God speaks from heaven and says about Jesus and to Jesus, this is my Son. He's chosen, marked by my love. He's the delight of my life. Hey guys, let's all try to pay attention today. This is really important. And I know we got distractions and all kind of things happening, but let's stay focused. Amen? Let's say that. I'm focused. Because sometimes the enemy, I'm not saying the enemy's causing all the things, but sometimes he likes to have things come up, and we need to stay focused and hear what the Lord is saying. Amen? So this is a big moment, and this is like an endorsement of Jesus. This is my Son. And what would an endorsement like that do in your life? I mean, just having the endorsement of another person, a human being, that says those things to you, that you're a delight, you please me, you know, all that, a human to say that to you, you know, for God to speak that to you, what would that do for you? Would that give you some security? Would that give you some confidence? Would that give you some boldness? I'm just going to come down here so I'll speak down here. How about that? Look in your eyes. I remember one time, one of my mentors is Brother Kenneth Hagin. He's in heaven now. And Brother Hagin, privilege of being around him and being in his meetings. And he was at our house several different times. And one time he was in our dining room, and you know, when you have someone like that there, it's pretty much chaos. And as far as the activity and the people and all the things you got to do to prepare for someone like that to come to your house, and then the people around are all acting funny. And so it's just a really, you know, we think it would be great to have these people come to your house, and it is, but there's just a whole lot that goes with it. And it isn't always a lot of fun. And, you know, just imagine, you know, the chaos around Jesus when he came to a place and all that happened. And so, you know, Brother Hagin, the prominent national figure, is at our house. And so all the different things. And it was just, it was kind of a challenging day. Of course, the reason why he was there was very challenging. But we were in the dining room, and I just, it was time for everybody to leave. And I got up, and I just kind of stood by the door, and all the different people that walked out of the dining room. We had maybe about 12 people in there. I just shook everybody's hand on the way out the door. And Brother Hagin was the last person to come out. And so it's just me and Brother Hagin in this room. And he grabs my hand, and he calls me Matt, and he says, "Matt, I want you to know that I love you." And it was kind of like the last thing I had expected at that moment. And I don't know if you've ever had this before, but it was like those words just went into me. And it was a change. It was like a power, it was like a force that came into me. Someone that I loved and respected and admired and looked up to and listened to and trusted to say those kind of words to you. It affected me physically, but it has affected me in my life. And so when you have that, and so Jesus had that about his Heavenly Father. He saw himself in the Word of God. There were things in his life and supernatural occurrences where God told him he loved him. And it gave Jesus this security and this confidence in this boldness to follow him. And they had this relationship and they were close. And so he called God Father. And so that is just, you know, it's radical. And another quick story. I was there the day that my grandfather, my dad was 50. We were standing out in front of our house. And you know how it is. You kind of walk your family out to the car and everybody's saying goodbye to each other. And my grandparents were there. And my dad was 50 years old. And so I'm out there with my dad, my grandfather, my dad, and myself, the three of us there. And I was there at the moment. My grandfather hugged my dad and told him that he loved him for the first time ever. First time ever. And to see my dad, I mean, it touched me. I mean, I can just see it all. To see that and the impact it had on my dad. I mean, he's just in tears. To have those words spoken. And so the security that Jesus had with the relationship with his Father, Jesus said, Jesus never did anything without his Father's permission. He says in the Gospel of John, "What you see me doing, I've seen the Father do." So Jesus is a reflection of the Father. He's a reflection of that relationship. He's a reflection of that secure place that Jesus had in his Father's heart. The words that I say to you are not my words. These are the words I heard the Father say. Jesus said that as well. Now, let's look at the greatest trial. You know what the greatest trial of Jesus' life was? Going to the cross, but he's in the garden. Let's look over at Mark. Mark 4, verse 32. Then they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. I guess so. Mark, did I say John? 14? Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. Well, you all know Mark 4. It can't be right. You know Mark 4. Mark 14, excuse me. Start over. Thank you, Susie. Then they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. Mark 14, verse 32. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." And he went a little farther, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will. Now, again, this, you know, we pass over this word Abba. But in the moment of Jesus' biggest distress, in the moments of his biggest trial, he's talking to his Father, and he calls God Abba, Father. Now, this word Abba is the Aramaic word Hebrew children use to convey the affection of daddy or papa. Isn't that interesting? He's in the garden. One translation says he's sweating blood. The weight of the world's on his shoulders. And he says, Abba, Father. He's using the terminology of a kid speaking to their father. Servants were not permitted to use this title addressing the head of a household. It's a term of endearment. And it's not from formal training, but it's from, correction. It's from experience. It's experience of the love and the generosity of the Father. So if you didn't have that kind of relationship, you wouldn't say Abba. It comes from the heart. I was doing a men's meeting. And there may be about 30 guys there. And we're talking about fatherhood. And I asked the people there who had a close relationship with their father. 3 people raised their hand out of 30. And I was one of the 3. But even with my father, who I felt was a good father, I mean, I had issues with him. He hurt me several times deeply. I had one I had to go to counseling over. So this is a good father. Imagine the fathers, other fathers in people's lives. A lot of people grow up without a father. So the influence, so if we're not getting what we need from our earthly father, we need a heavenly father. And not only do we, and so it makes it difficult and challenging because of what we've experienced. To experience God as Abba, Father, we've got to grow, but we're going to have to get this, because if we don't, it's going to hold us back our whole Christian walk. We've got to understand something about Christianity. And if you get nothing else today, get this. Christianity is not about responsibility to a code. It's response to the love of God. Christianity is not about a code and about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and being good and being bad and being worthy and being holy. It's about a response to the love of a loving Father. And I hope, it's even weird. I mean, I don't do this. It'd be for me to call God Daddy. I don't do that. Or Papa. Or all the other names. But I do use Father, and it means something to me, and it's not just a something that's memorized in prayer to start my prayer off with. I mean, He is my Heavenly Father. And so if you want to, again, after he prayed this prayer, they came to arrest him. Jesus said to the people, he told them, to his guys, put your swords down. If I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels. You know how many 12 legions of angels are? 72,000 angels. I could talk to my Father and call on legions of angels. But I choose not to. Because he's about his Father's business. He was about his father's business at 12, 20, 30, 33. He says on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." It says over in Luke to the disciples after his resurrected, "Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father." So he's got a relationship with, he's tight with God. He's close to God. And that's just something we don't look at it that way, and but that affected him. That gave him a security. That gave him a confidence. And then when you're loved like that, then you're able to love others. If you don't experience that love, and look at it in the natural for someone that doesn't know God, that didn't receive the love of their parents, what kind of lives do they have? What kind of way do they treat others? But here we have so many people, I mean, even sitting here today, they have no concept of the love of God, of the love of the Father. And they look at Him as a judge, look at Him as condemning, look at Him as, "I'm going to get you, looking for you to make mistakes. See, yeah." And so when you there's a John Edwards sermon when years ago, 1700s, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." When you look at God and you're praying to Him, what kind of image do you see? What kind of face do you see? Because the face that you see determines everything to do with the prayers and the boldness that you have and how you live your life. If you see Him as a judge, well, first of all, you're not going to go there. If you're afraid of Him, but there's a security that comes by knowing Him. So what about us? What about us? Well, then there's Jesus, and He's got this amazing relationship with the Father. And look at the kind of life He led. But what about us? Well, let's go to our example, Jesus, and look at some of His words. John 15, verse 9. Now, you know, we need to get a revelation of this. And Paul prays about this in Ephesians 3, that we'd get a revelation of this. But listen to these words, and I pray that they would just sink in your heart today. I pray that they would be, you know, just from God to you today. John 15, verse 9. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." That is really the key to the Christian walk, is abiding in the love, in His love. You know, the first verses of John 15, I encourage you to read it, talks about abiding in the vine, being vitally connected to Jesus. And apart from Him, you can do nothing. But you know, look how close that is. The vine, the branch and the trunk. I mean, how can you separate them? All right, you ready to get freaked out a little more? How about John 17? John 17, this is the big prayer that Jesus prayed. John 17, verse 20. I'm reading Amplified. "Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for those who ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching." Talking about us disciples. "That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you have sent me that you have loved them even as you have loved me. My goodness. Wow. It's not like we're in the family and there's the favorite child and you're not the favorite. He's saying to each one of us here today, I love you with the same love that I love my son Jesus. It's like the heavens are opened up here today and God's just speaking in an audible voice. I love you. I for you. I believe in you. I endorse you. I delight in you. You are my son and daughter. In you I am well pleased. I'm not mad at you. I'm not out to get you. I'm not out to bring harm to you. I'm doing all I can for you because I love you. Now, you got to get a revelation of this love. And I don't know if it'll do it, but this is an amazing story right here. Lord, help me and help us to hear. There's a Franciscan priest named Brennan Manning. He was spirit-filled in the 1970s. He ended up becoming an influential Christian writer, not only in the Catholic Church, but for the body of Christ. His first name is not really Brennan. He's not related to Peyton Manning either. His first name is not really Brennan, it's Richard. Richard and his best friend, Ray Brennan, were shipped off to Korea together. One dark night in a supposedly, quiet battle zone, they were sharing a chocolate bar, passing it between them, telling stories about their lives and their families, talking about back home. And in an instant, a stray grenade fell into their foxhole. Without even thinking, Ray Brennan threw his body over the grenade and took the full impact of the explosion. The last thing he did was to lift his head and smile and wink at his friend. Richard Manning, who wasn't close to God at the time, but because of this sacrifice by his friend, was compelled to seek God out and eventually found his calling as a minister. The day came for Richard to be ordained, and they asked, "By which name do you wish to be called?" He said, "I want to be called Brennan, because Ray Brennan died for me. I want to carry his name." There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. There's no greater love for a father to send his son to live and to die in the way that he died for us so that we could live. And the amazing thing that if there's just one of us, he would have done it. And we need to realize as believers that Jesus died for me. And he died that I would, so to bridge that separation that existed between God and man. And the Bible says that we become righteous. That means that we have the same right standing that Jesus has in God's presence. And we have the same authority that God gave to Jesus, Jesus gave to the church. We need to get a revelation of sonship. We need to get a revelation of being a daughter of God. We need to get a revelation of this love and how much God loves us. And it just doesn't happen in a one-time thing. It's a process. And I pray today that we'll be able to say Abba Father. That when we talk to God and when we say Father, it means something. It's a term of endearment. That we're close to him. We're close to Jesus. And that love, and what happens is when you get a revelation of that love and you respond to that love, it changes you. Selfishness leaves. See, when you're being selfish, it's about me. And it's about me and what I want. But when you start responding to God's love, and you start letting that love saturate you and clean that mind out, what happens is you start living for others. The decisions that I make, it's not about me anymore. It's about other people. And then when you want to know what? You can start to really love people. You can't love people without the revelation. God is love. We can't have the kind of marriages that need to happen without God's love being the center in that marriage. You can't have love in a family without God's love being right there, right in the middle of it. You're certainly not going to go to another nation and talk to other people about Jesus and live there. I mean, this love just, it transforms you. Let me read another scripture here. Romans 8, verse 14. Boy, I pray for the people of Good News Church. Pray for everyone. Oh, boy, I wish our young people would get a hold of this. I'm really sorry about how parents have treated kids. I really, you know, I have done my best, but, you know, I sometimes I just feel like a horrible father. Ushers, remove this. Strip him of his title. But you know, I've always prayed this prayer about my kids. Because I knew in myself, because I had a good father. But it wasn't enough. But I always prayed this over our kids, and Susie and I the same way. Great is the peace of my children that are taught of the Lord. Lord, I trust you. I've missed it. I'm doing my best, Father, but I've missed it. But I'm going to trust you to watch out for them. And you know what really, what our jobs are as parents? Our jobs are to point our kids to the Father. Point them to the Father. He's got this amazing plan. But I love this from Romans 8. I'm just bringing it all the way around here today. Romans 8, verse 14. Message. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Next verse. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurous. How do you say that? Right. Expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? Meaning we now have that spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Father. Verse 16. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. Do you know who you really are? That's what we're trying to teach you here, who you really are. You're a follower of Christ. You are a disciple. You are a son and daughter. You are in Christ. Confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. Paul, and I'm just going to go ahead and do it right now. Paul in Ephesians 3 prays that we may have a revelation of this love. I'm going to go ahead and pray that for you. And we'll see what else the Lord has. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I know there's people in all kinds of places right now. I just pray for a revelation of this love of God in their hearts, that they may see today, that they may experience that love. And because of that great love, Father, they may be filled to the full with your fullness, filled up and overflowing. That love will so change us and transform us. Father, that we're growing up in all things. And Lord, like never before, that love is flowing out of us to others. We're no longer just going to be thinking about ourselves. We're going to be thinking about others. Let that love flow out of us to a hurting and dying world. Go ahead right now, and just in your own words, and you don't have to say anything, but go ahead and talk to your Heavenly Father. Just talk to Him like you would a person. Talk to Him. Tell Him how you feel about Him. And if you don't really even know what to say, I mean, ask Him for His help today. And He's going to just come with arms like that Mike was talking about, that statue of Jesus, His arms just open like the Father and the prodigal son, just wrapping His arms around you, just kissing on you, just loving on you, just wanting to bless you, and His eyes are smiling. And He's for you. What do you need? He's saying to you. What do you want? What do you desire? Says over in Luke, He wants to give you good things. Your Heavenly Father wants to give you good things. Thank you, Father.